and it always was in the past, and it should be open to the public. I mean, if it's a matter of cleanliness, then have somebody come in and clean it. I mean, it worked for years and years. Even like you say that it was dirty, people left a mess, but it got cleaned. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the community center and the office and everything is for. And you have people coming in attendance to meetings and things, and you have no washroom available for them. Have it open now and then work on something else.
So we're agreeable with Councillor Haskins' suggestion. In the meantime, Greg can investigate both options there. Mm-hmm.
Or any other options, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I'm still thinking that, I don't know whether staff uses a one down by the post office, but to me that's a good option right now. But because they go down and check the mail on a regular basis, I mean, not that the two coincide necessarily.
But they do use the stairs to access downstairs, so they could use it to use the water. That's all I'm saying.
You need to put them through a UV light after you pick up the mail. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay, call a question on this resolution. All those in favor? None opposed? Or one opposed?
I'm not opposed.
Okay.
Sorry.
Karen.
Sorry, I was just rereading again, so.
And Resolution 23-95, moved by Councillor Keckin, second by Councillor Dulac. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar instructs staff to contact the Township Solicitor to ascertain the approximate costs and timeline involved in preparing a waiver agreement to be signed by Lakeshore Road property owners who may be using township property for personal purposes. Discussion? Councillor Zula.
Okay, I'd like to know what that's all about.
Okay, I think we're looking at doing something with the boat ramp in particular, and the problems that they've encountered in the past, and also maybe doing something with the road itself. And questions came up at the time of water lines, and people have always mentioned docks over the years too. So, and even when water lines were put in years ago, the concern was there all the time. But usually what we heard was, well, the other people have done it, we should be able to do it. No agreements were ever signed. And right now, this came up through the study with the boat launch, you may be in jeopardy with the water lines that are under there. So if we have a waiver agreement saying that the municipality is not responsible for, or they may even have to move, depending on the reconfiguration, whatever Greg comes up with, to improve that boat launch area, then I'm thinking the docks may be part of it because they're adjoined to municipal property. And the thing that's concerning, I guess, is that you see as you drive down that road, private property signs going up. And it's obviously municipal property, but they're already claiming it as their own. They're just trying to keep people off their docks, I guess, and off that property. So I think we have a major liability. We tried years ago, we talked to the OPP about it and two solicitors, and they were concerned as soon as you put up something saying, you know, public property or at risk or do not use or whatever, then you know that there are problems. So I'm thinking a waiver will get us away from some of those problems. Now, I don't know the next step. If people refuse to sign the waiver, that's why we need a solicitor's opinion, and it has to be written in such a way that, well, I think, and I'm going to back up to the Craigmore thing and the payment of costs, but if they don't sign it, then I will have to, you know, go to another plan. But I'm thinking, depending on how it's worded, if it's going to improve the situation along there, then I think most would be agreeable. But we'll have to see how it's worded.
So as it stands right now, I could go and put a dock there?
It's been happening all along. They talked before about the Armstrong Estate. Docks have been there for the past few years. People just go and put a dock in, and one appeared on Lakeshore Road. They just put a dock in, yes, so that's what's happening.
Okay.
And nobody's stopping them from doing it, so.
But I bet if I went to put a dock in, somebody'd stop me.
Council, any other questions? We can open it to the public.
What I had suggested quite a while ago on Council was the encroachment agreements. as opposed to a waiver, and the encroachment agreement could be, I think, registered on title to the property, and could include such a thing as making sure the people providing proofs that the township's named in an insurance policy that they have.
So it could work either way then?
Yeah. So that way if anybody used their dock and got hurt, the township would be named in a lawsuit if it ensued.
Right. Yeah. So the encroachment is just that you're approving what they've done.
Yep.
And you're just absolving the township from any liability.
Any liability, yes.
Yeah. Well, a waiver would do something similar. I don't know. Maybe the encroachment's easier to put together. I don't know.
Yeah, I know we always did encroachment agreements in the past for wells or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't remember waivers. Maybe you do. I don't remember them, but there were one. I know for sure there was encroachment agreements.
Yeah. Well, again, we could maybe put this to the solicitor and see what they suggest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the best way to go and which is the most enforceable, I guess. Because there are going to be...
What are you going to do if they say get them off there?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We haven't got to that stage yet. But we're trying to be proactive here and resolve some of the problems that arose with the previous council.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do, I guess, is mitigate the liability and improve the area so that that boat launch can be kept open. So we'll do what we can. It's just one of the steps.
Should we amend the resolution to include a waiver agreement or encroachment agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. I've never heard of one, but I think I understand what it is just by the use of the word. So.
And why not stroke off Lake Shore Road and just make it? It can be any properties in the township.
Well, it might be the next step, but I'm thinking... This is the one we're concerned with primarily to try to resolve the problems. Well, you know what the previous council went through with the closing of that boat launch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the situations arise all along there because it's a close area. And it all, most of it anyway, is going to have an effect on what we do on that road.
Yeah, I think it's fine for the resolution to read that way, but whatever we end up... system we go with, it would be probably in cover all of the township anyway.
Yeah, no, that'd be great because I'm sure there. Again, it's mainly complaint driven, but I'm sure there are a lot of docks that we'll be probably discussing later, and things on township property that shouldn't be there. So you're right; it's just a matter of tracking them down. And there are some wells too that are on township property.
The water lines are the things that bugs me.
Right.
We got water line with pyrotechnic, like heating line going right through a culvert.
Yeah.
And then other culvert lines that go under their culverts, and they're heaved up. Well, how are we supposed to get in there to dig up? You know what I mean? Here's a water line, electric heated line under the culverts. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. I want to redo, make sure I should. But I mean, this is where all this, but I think there's 13 or 14 water lines that go across that road. How can we do any work to that road? We tried doing some edging this fall, and holy Jesus, watch my water line. Edging, not ditching, edging. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have a little something going on here.
As recent as 2 years ago, some people had to do a renovation on their septic system, and they installed a pump chamber on township property on the road mounts.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they did or not.
Well, maybe it's a whole redesign, I don't know, because you're right, we can't do any repairs.
Nope.
And so that might be part of what the solicitor tells us, too, that they come down to one particular area, maybe that could be off limits, and they all sort of feed into one spot.
Have a couple, maybe two or three spots where they all have to,
So they might have to redesign. Good points. So all we've done here for the amendment to this is just put in an encroachment agreement along with the waiver agreement. We all okay with that? Call for the vote on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And then the resolution reads, as it's amended, it's included that. I'll call the question on the resolution. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-96, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of Kelly is hereby authorized the Township's Information Technology IT Coordinator to purchase 4 laptops, 1 for the municipal office to facilitate Zoom, 1 for the community center to be used only when requested, 1 for Director of Operations Greg Gossick, and 1 for Deputy Clerk Planning Assistant Carter Britton. Discussion? This gives us designated laptops for particular uses, and this shouldn't be a problem where people have to bring in their own, or there's something on the laptop that shouldn't be there. So it should just be for particular purposes.
Just not for your just, oh, am I allowed to speak?
Sure.
Just for clarity, for selling feature, my laptop, those signs are not activated because I don't have a laptop. I have to have a laptop with
ASAP.
As soon as possible, like tomorrow. I'm, like after this, yeah, that's how soon this is going to be. So I have to have Windows 11, 10 or 11. I might as well go big, go 11, capable, and that's the only thing that can run those signs.
Just pizza.
To get them up operating. To get them operating. I have to have the motherboard to run those signs. So I've got 2 months free of cloud right now, so that sends all the information. Then it'll be about $500 for a year to run those signs.
Do we have any idea of the cost for the 4 of them?
I asked Dan yesterday, and he said he could get an HP laptop for $1,200.
Fair enough, yeah.
Perfect. With Windows 11, did you specify that?
Yeah, he would have all of the licenses on them. That each individual.
Yeah, I'll get talking to him anyways just to make sure that that one's fully.
And frankly, if you're buying something from a place that doesn't have Windows 11 on them, then there's something wrong with where we're buying them. So.
Well.
Anyway, it couldn't be installed. I'm not arguing that. But.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you went to buy a car and they said, "Well, we only have 2016 models," it's like, no thanks.
They're selling them. 2021 for 2023.
Any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to bylaws. This first one is 2023-11, bylaw to amend the zoning bylaw for REIT. Resolution 23-97, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-11, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12, the zoning bylaw, with respect to lands legally described as parcel 17981, section SS and LT 32, lot 32, plan M142. McKellar, initially addressed as 1 Island View Drive, read first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 24th day of January 2023. Discussion. Maybe Carly could just fill us in on some of the changes that were made in that one after the January 17th meeting.
So reference to Plan M142 is included in the bylaw, and then a Schedule B was also attached to show the lands within Plan M142, sorry. And the Schedule B is referenced also in the bylaw, so those were the changes that were made.
And what information did we receive on the doc? What they said about the dock not being theirs?
So basically the planner is saying that the dock issue isn't coinciding with the rezoning application. Mr. Reed did send correspondence via email that I forward to council regarding use of the dock, saying that he doesn't use it. He uses an amphibious Argo to go from the mainland to the island.
And so it's somebody else's dock that people have put in. As far as he knows, it's nothing to do with him. So that's another problem we have that we'll have to, as I say, they exist all over. It's just a question of deciding who put it in there. And we have to believe him. Council, any further comments before I go to the public? Yes, sir. Rich.
I would suggest to council, if he doesn't own the dock, it's on township property, just have the tractor operation moved. Get rid of it.
Put it over on Lakeshore? Put it over on Lakeshore?
If he doesn't own it, I don't know who else would own it. Everybody else has water frontage in the way they put their dock. He's the only guy with an island. So, anyway, the other thing is, I don't like to bring it up at this point, but I didn't read in the bylaw where there was a statement saying all other sections of the bylaw 9512 have to be complied with. Usually that is a part of any bylaw, so you're just getting exemption from what the bylaw says and nothing else. Everything else has to be complied with. So in other words, he's getting a rezoning for an accessory use. Does it allow him to have accessory uses to that accessory use? And the answer is that he has to comply with all other sections of the bylaw. No, it doesn't.
Right. Which is rather interesting because of that particular law, because there are a number of things in there that don't apply. It doesn't comply with.
Yeah.
And so you're right, it could go further from the law itself. But those are confusing lots, because even now the question came up, and they did change the frontage. They agreed to that I think he came up with, what was it, 58? Instead of 57, but the plan is attached, as you said, 142. And then the question came up too, does that give you the area that you thought you had? I mean, the same area is in there, the 1,397 square meters, but how can that be if the frontage is reduced?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I guess the bottom line is he's getting the bylaw passed that allows a reduced frontage to make it a buildable lot.
Right.
I think that's the real key. As far as the area goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I knew that.
Like 1,800 square feet is what the...
Yeah.
1,800s.
I think it was that.
Not square feet, square meters.
Right.
Yeah, it is the minimum for a buildable lot, so... He only has 1,397 or whatever.
So that would be easy enough to do if council's agreeable for 4.0, I guess, to put that in at the very end.
It's just something we always did before with bylaws, such as that, as amendments to the zoning, but just so people know, the same as the minor variance we just did earlier, so people know that it doesn't exempt them from anything that it doesn't say.
That's something that could be just penciled in with the wording that he's suggesting, and then that can be retyped as long as the approval is here tonight and with that extra clause. So maybe Reg again could reword that for 4.0.
So all you have to do is add that into the resolution, right? And Carly can, you always sign the bylaws at a later date anyway, don't you?
Right. Well, she likes me to sign it tonight, but yeah, later.
So you just add in the resolution that all other sections of bylaw 95, applicable sections of bylaw 9512 must be complied with, or some such thing.
Or remain in force, or something like that.
Yeah.
So do we want to try and change the bylaw too while we're at it?
No, you'll have to retype
okay.
it.
Okay.
Depending on
okay.
before I sign it.
Okay.
And I guess it's not always in there, but 9512 as amended?
Yes.
So that covers everything.
Must remain in force. Is that correct?
I would just say must be complied with.
Must be complied with.
I So the amendment is to add a last clause, and further that all other applicable sections of bylaw number 95-12 as amended must be complied with.
Ending a sentence with a preposition.
I know. Sometimes you have to. I know what you're saying.
I'm just wondering, Reg may know, or Carly, it does say here 1.2, the requirements of the waterfront 2 zone shall apply, except for the rezonings that we're doing for amendments. Does that cover?
So that partly covers it, I guess, partly. I'm not sure.
It just covers the uses, so it doesn't cover things like lot coverages or with buildings or accessory uses to that accessory use, things like that. Because the bylaw says it's an accessory use, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, like, if you don't spell it out because it's the only use on the property, if you come back to Chris and said, "Can I build a sauna there?" The bylaw permits it.
Then he'd be coming in for a variance.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll call a question on the amendment to the resolution. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. And then the resolution itself, consolidated with the amendment. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Being a bylaw to amend the zoning bylaw for LeBlanc. And I guess I'll look forward there, although we had correspondence. Now we can do the resolution 23-.
I can speak to it if you like.
Okay.
Sorry. I've been in contact with the applicant, so they have retained Riverstone Environmental to do a wildlife habitat assessment and a fish habitat assessment, so that is being done as soon as possible. So it was recommended by our planner that we defer the bylaw until that report is being received. And with Bill 23, we don't have to give back any of the application fee until June this year. So that was, because you have the 90 day, so that was a concern, but we're okay if we defer because it won't take that long to get the report. And then a deeming bylaw was passed on the property that the LeBlanc's cottage is on and the lot closest to the water. But I couldn't find reference to the second lot beside that one. So I've asked LeBlanc to contact their solicitor to ensure that the titles can merge when the lot addition is put through. So at that time, if the solicitor says that deeming bylaw does not include the one lot within the consent application, then we would need to pass the deeming bylaw at that time. But I'm not sure if the current deeming bylaw registered on title to the one property would encompass the whole agreement, if that makes sense.
No, it just specified certain lots, right?
Yeah, and some lots were not specified. So we are actively working with the applicant to have all of council's concerns rectified. So once we receive the report and the solicitor's comment, then I can provide that to council.
And we're good till June.
Yes.
So we have the resolution, and the planner suggests it could be deferred, so that's an option. And resolution 23-98, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Cackney, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, is hereby give bylaw number 2023-12, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12, the zoning bylaw with respect to lands legally described as parcel 17978, section SS, lot 56, plan M142, lot 57, plan M142, lot 58, plan M142, except part 2, 42R11713, McKellar, LeBlanc, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council the 24th day of January 2023. Further discussion. Give me some direction. From what we're hearing, it's a deferral.
Yes, deferral.
Yeah.
Okay, call the vote. Question on deferral. All those in favor? Okay. Here it is, the deferral. The 2023-08 third reading of the procedural bylaw. We're up there already. Let's get this passed. No, we don't need this. It's okay until 11, isn't procedural. Okay.
Didn't quite make it. We'll blame Rich for that.
And resolution 23-99, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Councilor McKellar, does hereby extend the meeting curfew by 1 hour to 11 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-100, moved by Councilor Zulak, signed by Councilor Cutman, whereas bylaw number 2023-08, procedural bylaw, was read a first and second time at open council on the 10th day of January 2023. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-08, procedural bylaw, a third reading, and have it passed in open council the 24th day of January 2023. Discussion? That one question we received as well about people leaving the room, that's covered under curfews, or sorry, quorums. So I'm thinking curfew here. It's on the quorum, it does say that anytime you lose quorum, it's already in the bylaw, then the meeting stops. You can't continue. So I don't, for clarification, we could put it in that clause, but I don't think it's really necessary. Councilor Ryder, you had a question?
I know I asked this question before, but I don't recall in section 1.16, sorry. Basically, they can vote in an open session, but not in a closed session. I don't understand why, if a person is present.
Councilman Zulak, I think, responded last time.
So okay.
See if you...
Okay. And, I'm sorry if you've already told me, but I don't remember. But...
And what I did, of course, with the comments that came from our previous meeting, I incorporated those comments in here. So
sure.
That's the reason why it's in there.
Okay. So, if you're attending the meeting by Zoom or whatever, and when you go into the closed session and you're voting, I don't believe that you should be allowed to vote because you're not in person here.
You're right. I remember your conversation. I'm sorry I forgot that. But yeah, other people could be listening. Okay, I follow. Okay, thank you. Next time, just come over and whack me in the head.
Not good.
You can throw it.
I wouldn't want to get hit with one, so. Sorry.
No, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 2023-13, bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2023, resolution 23-101, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-13, being a bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2023, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council this 24th day of January 2023. Discussion? It's fairly standard, I think, each year.
The only thing that was changed was dates.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Councilor R.
Item 3, down the item 3, not any sub points or whatever in here. talks about, it starts off saying that on the taxes of the interim levy, which are due on default, blah, 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 blah. I think, frankly, it should say that the one and a quarter percent will be added on the first day of each and every month on the default, continues until December 31st. I think it should say 1.25% on the unpaid balance, because if we do raise, I can't find it right at the moment, the issue about partial payments is covered in here as well. But the point being that if, in other words, if I owed $5,000 and I come in and paid $2,500, then it should only be charged on the unpaid portion, the remaining $2,500. And that may be exactly what we do, but I don't know that. And it would be beneficial to say that, in my opinion. Right? So my simple suggestion is to simply say 1.25%, which is the third line in that section, and just insert on the unpaid balance. And it also affects, so the unpaid section I did identify, it's on paragraph 9 on the back of the page. Because this is authorizing the treasurer to accept part payment from time to time, and that's why if you have part payments, you wouldn't be charging you charge on the balance, not on the amount of the tax. In other words, I think that's probably what's being done. Roshan wasn't available, I tried phoning, I knew he was out, but anyhow, and if he could answer that, that's what we do, but it's still beneficial to say it, in my opinion. The only fair thing to do is you pay on your outstanding balance, not on the gross amount. Let's face it, if you're off by a dollar, we're going to charge. Well, not that 1.25% would amount to anything anyway, but I think it's just a fairer way of describing it, because that's the issue. That's in part what I brought up earlier on those amounts that we're showing as interest. Do we charge on that unpaid balance? And that's an even bigger question. But
I guess the question is on timing for this. How soon does he need this? Rather than write that in and then Roshan saying, no, we don't need that, I'm thinking we should get information from him as well.
Sure.
As you say, if it's being done and it's not worded properly, then that could be done. That could be changed. The bylaw can always be amended. But I'm just not sure of the timing on this.
He's back on the 9th.
Will that be soon enough to consider this bylaw? Or does he need it done immediately?
I don't believe he needs it done immediately, but
I'm agreeable to defer it until we know, and in other words, go with this as is and then amend it if it's required.
Yeah.
And again, it's really more for clarity. I hope more for clarity than it is for the practice of how it's done. But it does raise the question of how is it being done. So
yeah, I think that's fair enough. It'd be nice to hear his comments on that.
I assumed that when I phoned him, I would just get the answer, and I was just going to cross those off. But anyhow. And maybe the software does this automatically. I don't know. I mean, all those kinds of simple questions. But if you want, we could pass it. I'm agreeable to passing this down and amending it later if required.
Or deferred. So it's just a question of...
Does it affect our timing first? The tax bills are due April 1st, right? Which means he has to finalize it. I don't know. That's
sure
a question. It may take some
deadlines.
Lead time to do that.
Well, the question is, too... who's doing his job when he's not here?
Yeah.
So, is he going to need this in place? Is anybody else going to be doing this?
No, not until he returns. So I wouldn't see a problem having it for the February 21st meeting. It'd be the next meeting after he returns.
Okay, so this could be deferred then,
yep.
Rather
okay.
than just
okay.
sure.
passing it and then amending it.
Yep.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of extra back and forth, but...
Okay, agreeable to that. We'll call the question then on defer. All those in favor? None opposed? Deferred is carried. Resolution 23-102 of the Councilor Kekkonen, second to Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Thompson McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-14. Being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2020-28, being a bylaw to regulate parking, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council this 24th day of January 2023. Discussion? I guess the question is whether Greg is happy with that, or do you have a help with hand in the wording, or?
Should you specify, what's it say? Oh, perfect. Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah, that'll cover it.
Did you read it all?
No.
You give him the name.
Oh, yes. Just work for the office.
Yeah.
I can speak.
Well, we haven't been able to stop you yet.
Bylaw 2028. I'm not sure if it repealed all the previous bylaws.
It said it did right at the start.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay. Good enough.
That was in the first line. That's the first I'd seen that bylaw.
The repeal section is usually at the end.
Yeah,
I guess it's this one that's the first.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
See, that was easy.
Well, that's the thing. I got a copy of the parking bylaw from 98, and then it was amended in 99, I guess. And then I wasn't aware of the 2020, and then I got a copy of that.
Right.
And that was the first thing they did. And it's quite detailed. I can't even read the signature of who the deputy clerk was at the time. But that was all put together, and then finally it was signed by Michelle Hendry, I guess. And I don't know who put that together, even that 2020-28 or whatever. It's quite detailed to what we normally have. And it covered permits and all kinds of things, not just the parking.
Yeah, no, I read through it. It usually repeals at the end. I didn't see any repeals.
Yeah.
I missed it completely the first
time. Councilor Hassan.
The portion for Balsam Road, that's come about because of people parking for the...
For the trail.
Trail.
Yeah. Come spring, I'll probably build a maybe expand the parking lot by two vehicles.
Right.
Maybe get three, but probably two vehicles anyways. It's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll allow us to put that no parking, put it in the bylaw. Because that's dangerous for them to be parking there. Right on that hill like that. That's crazy. People parking, going over the other side.
And when they have parked there, it is because the parking lot was full already? Or they were just not thinking?
Yeah, well, because it's full.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And sometimes, there's some people that seem to think that they still want to use that trail in the wintertime, and they're parking on the road in the wintertime as well.
Oh,
yeah. On Center Road, coming for me, here's what I'd like to do, that set of stairs that's on Center Road, we should take that rid of it. When it gets, eventually, when it's time to be replaced, we should just eliminate it, and that'll stop that problem, because we have people parking on Center Road now. Let's just get rid of the stairs eventually, and then I'll try and expand the parking lot where it is now. Hopefully, that'll help.
I think we gave direction a couple of years ago to get rid of the stairs on Center Road.
I missed it there because they would have been gone.
Yeah, we'll see if I can find that. Yeah,
okay,
we certainly
good.
Did.
I don't mind waiting until it's, deemed, not usable, if that's the case. Or I can get rid of it. If there's a resolution, well, I can get rid of it right away. That's fine.
Yeah, no, it's a practicality of it. I know when it was originally done.
Yeah.
Because I'd help with the tender. That was a selling feature of it that made it unique. And that was part of the tender.
Yeah, it's just they're parking there now.
Right.
Yeah.
That creates a problem.
Yeah, it is.
And that whole area, of course, is quite a chunk. Was it 5 acres where the tower is there?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So you say for 2 or 3 more spots. I don't know if that could be expanded either. I know you're limited by rock all around there.
It is, so I was just going to put 2 more spots towards Balsam.
Right.
That's right where it is, so it's better than nothing. I don't know, I might be able to go up towards the tower more. I'll have a good look at it in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it may be a case of raising up the existing parking lot where it is now, and then using that plus beyond into the rock, towards the tower a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do it that way, because there is access.
Yeah.
If I raise that parking lot up, I can get in behind too. And that might be good for 6-8 vehicles.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You're looking into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Twenty 1.6 bylaw to for fees and charges, resolution 23-193, or 103. Moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Zulak. We absolve the Council of the Corporation, the Township of McKellar, to hereby give bylaw number 2023-15, being a bylaw to amend Schedule A as amended, of bylaw number 2011-21, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 24th day of January 2023. Discussion? Speed on this one.
Would you want me to speak to it?
Maybe you should speak to it, yeah.
So, council deemed Hardy Crescent surplus a couple meetings back, so now we'll be in the process of doing the road closure. The applicant can't work with our solicitor because you can't have one solicitor representing both sides. So this will take staff time, and there isn't a fee for an admin fee or deposit for this type of application, as it's not, it's been rare, I guess, in the township. So we're just putting through this charge to ensure that staff time is paid and that the deposit is there, so the township doesn't incur any costs with this. I researched surrounding municipalities' fees, which I provided to council, and then the fees you see before you, $750 for the non-refundable admin fee and $1,000 for the deposit, was suggested by Roshan.
Now that's the correct bylaw being amended, is it? 2011-21?
Yeah, as amended, Schedule A has been amended, so it's just an addition to that amended Schedule A of bylaw 2011-21. So it's an addition because road closure application was not a section on it previously.
Okay, any further discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
All right. See you.
Good night. Night. Under unfinished business, nothing there, new business, nothing, so public
comment. Oh, sorry, new business, you wanted to mention the Belvedere Board deputation request?
Okay, yeah, I guess Debbie mentioned that, yeah. Did she write the resolution for you?
No, I can't. So just to request the Belvedere Board to make a deputation to council?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to put a time frame on it? Is it reasonable to give them a, like, can we say in February? Is that doable, do you think?
In person. You'd like in person.
Yes. We can specify that. And I would say, even though they said at the meeting, it's all closed session, I don't think it is. Some of the stuff, I think, could be public. So I think we put that in the request, that it be open to the public so they can hear what's going on in the campus of care. And
yeah.
Even Joe Lamb, he questioned whether it had to be closed.
Well, I don't think it needs.
Don Carmichael said it had to.
Unless they're saying people's names.
Right, and I don't think you have to. We're just talking generally about like lease and what they're doing in campus of care. I don't think you need to mention names. So, but it would be nice to have that in their resolution so that they know up front before they get here that this is how it's going to be conducted. And they may say no. That we don't operate that way. I don't know.
Yeah, they put out there that if you want, if you request them to.
With their rules, maybe, though.
Yeah.
Would it be a reiteration of what they stated at the meeting the other night, or are we going to ask for a specific.
I would think they can do the presentation, then they'd have to be open to questions.
Yeah.
So it probably will be a reiteration. They won't say much more, but then I think you can delve into it and ask questions and try to get some responses.
Yeah.
As the deputation, is council limited as to how much we can ask questions? How many minutes, I guess, better way of saying it? In other words, if I know there's a lot of issues in there, but I mean, so in other words, I know the deputation is 10 minutes, but you know, are we limited to a specific time frame to ask questions about it?
Well, certain counselors might be, but no, I think generally it's been fairly open so far. They've really been open. I don't think we've set any hard, fast rules to stop people from talking, but you're right, there has to be at some point a limit.
Of course, yeah.
Sorry, was there a time frame provided?
What is anybody think? I think as soon as possible.
There's a piece of paper I need to get. There it is. That's more able to that one. One that's in yellow. Whether you recall that being passed. That's what they talked about last night at the meeting.
Was it the Bible?
Well, this is the to deal with the actual transferring of the 101 beds back to the ministry.
Oh, okay.
And the resolution that was passed in the bylaw, apparently.
Yeah, I think I remember the peg.
So, you notice it says first and second reading?
Right, okay.
I can't find the third reading. Oh, okay. But that's what I want Carly to check out. How do we deal with the paper?
Probably might have been just an oversight and never happened.
I'm just wondering if it's just like a regular open council meeting.
Regular scheduled meeting of council. So it's.
Yeah. Is that all right the way it is? Yeah.
I think you just want to make it clear that,
yeah,
that it's
open to
the
public.
The open,
yeah.
An open public.
Yeah, I think that's clear, and we'll have to leave it to staff to arrange a time when that could be when they're available, and we have time on the agenda for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Resolution 23-104, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct staff to contact the Belvedere Heights Board of Management to request an in-person deputation to Council as soon as possible at a regular scheduled meeting of council. Discussion?
We want to say regularly scheduled open meeting? I mean, just be more precise.
Well,
I think that is, but I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't hurt to say it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not a technical description, it's just simply notifying them that it's open.
Yeah.
Right?
If that's okay with the mover and seconder?
Yes, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay. Call the question then. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Committee comments, reports. Councillor Haskell.
Yeah, just something I should bring up. It's kind of bad news, and you're probably maybe all aware of it by now. But civilian on McKellar Township and a volunteer on our rec committee and 150 committee, and I believe she volunteered for different associations in the area. Kathy Spence passed away on January 12th, and so she's going to be really missed. She was, I believe, was going to be our next super volunteer for McKellar for the next decade or two, and we lost her to cancer, so I thought I'd better just mention that. She will be missed. And one other thing is the RFPs have been sent out for the work to be done on the Hemlock Church. So let's see. Hopefully we get some bids.
Is there a closing date on that?
Yeah.
Top of your head, I don't know.
Later on February. February 26th.
February 23rd.
23rd. Okay.
Other committee reports? This is not really a committee, but this was the a agreement with the Recreation Cultural Center. We've asked our solicitor actually to, well, I can read the resolution on it, because they had a conflict. We decided to, there was another resolution passed then that we go to solicitors that they had recommended, and this is the resolution to consider. 23-105, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar passed resolution number 23-38 at the January 10th, 2023 regular meeting of Council, wherein the clerk administrator and or council designate was authorized to contact Aaron Burles LLP and Loopstra Nixon LLP as suggested by the Township solicitor to provide a quotation and timeline for a review of the West Prairie Sound Recreation and Cultural Center Joint Municipal Service Board Agreement, and whereas both firms have replied to the request for a quotation, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby employ the services of the firm Aaron and Burles LLP at a cost of approximately $2,500 to conduct the review of the agreement specifically in relation to the Township's financial commitments, other responsibilities, and the extent of said commitments or obligations moving forward. And further be it resolved that the Mayor be authorized as the lead contact to forward a series of questions relative to the agreement to the solicitors to aid in a focus for the review. Discussion? I can speak to it if you wish.
Yeah.
we had the two quotes that came in, and one in particular followed up with telephone. Well, actually, it was a back and forth for a while until we were both available, and had about a half-hour discussion, and he also had experience with Whitestone on this very issue, and their sub-agreement, I guess, to the pool, because they're donating, they're not actually part of the board of management. And so he had some background material on it, and he had actually asked for questions to give him some focus of what to look for, and I said at the point that would maybe be the next step, because it's not just a matter of open looking at the clauses. It's a question of, and we don't even have final figures in a lot of this case from the, I don't know who's coming up with the figures, but now that the architects have been hired, and I guess it's a question of the replacement fund that has to be kept in place as well, and that figure is still not been nailed down exactly. So there are questions that stem from the agreement, and questions that I would be forwarding to them to get their opinion on it, how it binds us, what our obligations are moving forward, and of course, as I said, a lot will depend on the nebulous figure that we'll eventually get, but I wanted to look at our obligations down the road, what's going to do to our tax base if we do get some figures, and I guess the question of scenarios, and I don't know whether they can get that far or not with this figure that he's provided for us, what happens if, and because there are some worst case scenarios in that agreement, it's so open ended that it's a little frightening, and so that's the type of thing that I'd be putting to him, and we don't know the response of other townships, certainly municipalities, and what they would do, but I think we have to I guess ask some serious questions, because our public was never given the public meeting that the other townships were, and now suddenly it's ballooned from four lanes to six lanes, and again the public was never consulted on any of that. That was just done fairly quickly, even though they've studied it for a while, I guess. So these are things that even other townships might be considering, thinking that originally when this proposal started it was four lanes, that's what they, and they also had an upper limit of the $32 million that it was going to cost. Even at our last meeting of the Recreation and Culture Center, the Joint Municipal Services Board, there were questions about going beyond now that you're talking about two more lanes. And they were getting up into the $40 million. And so there are some concerns, and a lot of that said that will have to be covered through endowments, through fundraising, etc. But that's very nebulous, basing it on fundraising. And those are the types of questions, I guess, moving forward, looking at the agreement as is, and is it open enough that those changes can be made by a vote on council? And I want to get that clarified too, because it's a little confusing in there whether it's a weighted vote. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. It's just by a municipality. And I want to get that clarified. When does a weighted vote click in? And so those are the types of questions I'd be directing to the solicitor. And it would all be, and what I could do as well, if you're interested in this, I could submit the questions to council first before I talk to the solicitor and go from there to get some support so you know where it's going and what kind of questions we're asking. But I think it's unfortunate that we're at this stage now and it wasn't submitted to a solicitor earlier. But it's like everything else, I guess. We look at what's been signed and I guess how binding it is and what we'll have to do moving forward. That's not speaking for or against the pool. That's just questioning, as the taxpayers want to know, what our obligations are. What's it going to do to our levy moving forward? What's it going to do to the taxes that we'll be asking in the future? And what will it do? Now, this is going well beyond the lawyer, but what will it do to our infrastructure and what we can afford as we have a line item now for the Recreation and Cultural Center? So it's a starting point, and get some opinions. Now, I know it was drawn up by a solicitor, so there again, the same thing we had tonight. One solicitor saying something, another one giving you another opinion. So at least we're getting a professional opinion on it, not just accepting an opinion that was provided to us. And I realized, too, that there were resolutions passed by the previous council trying to make... And they did change from a 9.3, I think, down to an 8.5 percentage. Some councillors would remember those changes that were made. But the second resolution that went forward just prior to the agreement being signed never rescinded the first resolution. So I'm a little confused about the legality of that as well. Does one automatically supersede the other, or are they both still in existence? In which case, we have two different things we've agreed to this deal. And that's a concern. So that's the type of thing I'm thinking of, and I think in this particular case, time is of the essence, because they're continuing to move ahead, and we're getting the bills, I assume. I don't know how much we've paid so far. I guess Roshan would have to answer that, but it is going to have an effect on us as we talk budget. Comments? I've spoken enough.
I think that's good, Dave, and I think it would be good too if we did get to a copy of the questions that you would be asking, just to keep us in the loop.
Okay. Now, one of the things we did talk about in the conversation, if he was chosen, I don't know even at this point, whether he would do, and he asked the question too, whether he'd be expected to do an oral presentation. And I said it may not be part of this particular, or written might be all we need, but that is a possibility depending on what council wants to do. And that way as well, I'm looking down the road, the public would have an opportunity to have a solicitor acting on our behalf and giving an opinion, something the public hasn't had before. And I think that would be important. That wouldn't necessarily, as I say, be part of this contract with them. And a lot would depend on what he writes as well, but I think the public should be aware of what our solicitor, in a sense, what somebody employed by us has concluded. And that might put a lot of people at ease, it might upset people, I don't know what the response would be depending on what he tells us. And as I say, it's one solicitor's opinion. Councillor Ryan?
I agree with Debbie. I mean, yes, I'd love to see the questions and things like that and perhaps offer some input into them if it's of value. I think it's a great thing to do. I think it's critical, and I think it's critical we do it very soon. So from memory alone, last year when we borrowed the money from Infrastructure Ontario, I think we spent, I could be wrong by a small amount, but something in the range of $170,000 to $175,000 is our first installment on capital costs. I don't know if you remember a different amount. I mean, I might be off by 5 or 10, but I don't think any more than that. So Right. I don't know if you have the budget from last year here.
Yeah, I probably do. But yeah. It was around that yeah. dollar amount.
Yeah. That's my memory of it anyway. So.
And if I'm reading the agreement correctly, they could ask for any amount at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's worrisome. Without coming back to the municipality, that's one of the questions I have in there. Does the municipality have any say at one point, at any point? You know, we don't have the money sort of thing. We have to borrow again because you need it. So I want to look at that too, and who can demand the money and when.
And that doesn't cover the operating costs at all.
Oh, no.
That's just capital. Yeah. So, and those could be, as you say, open-ended. That's a charitable word for the phrase, but anyhow.
Yeah, we want to make sure we can't be drawn into any more than what we've already committed to. That's very important.
Yeah, that's a concern that you hear. That, and again, it's just a question of, you know, with the property itself and what role the board plays as opposed to the municipalities. I mean, it looks to me like all of the control of everything has been given over to the board. Municipalities aren't being asked for anything more. It's a representative. And I'm not even aware, but they're very vague here, but of what our liabilities are as a board. The actual procedural bylaw that they're using is Perry Sounds. That's going to be amended to come up with their own. They don't have it yet. And I imagine they have some type of insurance for the board. It's all up in the air. Some people seem to know and other people want to know. Can't get the answers, so it makes it very difficult to sit on that board, especially coming in at this stage. I don't know what's gone on before. So hopefully we get some answers.
Can I ask, I know you're aware of Robin Plum and what he said about this over some time. Is it worthwhile asking him to come and, don't think it's a deputation because I think it's much longer than that, but ask him to come and brief us on at least his view on it? And quite possibly somebody that is supportive of it, which Robin is very clearly not. I don't know who that would be necessarily, and I know that would take probably a great deal of time. But I think given the potential costs here to our ratepayers, it would be time well spent. Right? I know he's offered to do that, so I don't know if he's done it in writing. But he did say to me that he would come and brief council on it. But I don't think it's a deputation. I think, quite frankly, it would almost have to be a special meeting. A public meeting, but a special meeting, so, or at least an open meeting, sorry, but anyway, and I know it would consume a great deal of time, but given the potential costs here, I think this may be the most important financial decision that Keller's ever made, right? But, I mean, I agree with proceeding with this, and I agree with your proposal of coming up with some questions and reviewing those. That's a great thing and can be done in a much shorter time frame, but Robin seems to have a very keen insight into some things, and his view may not be wholly accurate, but it's of great concern to me anyway. So,
I think it's as good at some point, probably. I don't know who would represent the board.
Yeah.
it's just hard to, like I say, when they actually had meetings, I think it was the chair that came around to the different townships, Don Sanderson, and spoke. I don't know who would come to a public meeting. I think it's valid, certainly, but until we have some more figures, as you say, the hypothetical, a lot of things that are thrown around there, and I think we, and also I would like to make sure that the public does have access to it, that it would be available. So I'm thinking this time of year is probably not a good time for most of the public. They're not here. And so I have no problem with setting up something, but it might be later in the year if we tried something. And maybe we'd have more financial information at that point, too, as it moves ahead. Because they're moving ahead. They have a website now as well that I just clicked into today. They're just starting it out. Most of the things aren't active that you can further. But and it's interesting on that website because they put on there, and I don't know how accurate it is after our last meeting, but it does say that the maximum cost for the pool is $32 million. It's not going to go over that. They were talking going over that at the last meeting. So the website's saying that right now.
Yeah, every municipality swore saying they will not spend any more. Because if you spend any more than the $32 million, you don't get that 75% funding. It's, no. it's full out cost. I don't think any of the municipalities will accept that at all. So if they're going to six lane pool, the fundraising committee says that they're going to make up the difference. Well, they better put their money where their mouth is, because when the final design comes in, it's going to have to be on budget. So, no, I just...
Yeah. And I like to believe what you're saying, that I don't think any municipality would go for it, because already we've got a situation where the fundraising committee is headed up by the mayor of one municipality. They've threatened to walk if they don't get the six lanes, so that's what concerns me, that some are going to go through no matter what the cost. And we have 1/12 of a vote.
Out of 12?
Yeah.
Is that right? There's 12 weighted votes?
Yeah.
But, or at least the weighting is, you know, we have 1 out of 12.
Right.
Yeah. But certainly, I support this completely, going ahead with this immediately and finding out what we can do going forward. But I do think if we're ever going to discuss this, I would certainly like Robin to come and, you know, a counterpart on the pro side of things too. And maybe we just ask the board to send somebody to talk about the pros of what's going on. Not pros with an E though, just PROS, but anyhow.
As I say, it may take some time, because again, I want to be fair to the public.
Sure.
The people who are seasonally as well, so.
And from campaigning, and I don't know if you found the same thing, there was maybe the number one topic that I was asked about all the time. So I would think if we had an open meeting about this, that would be very heavily attended, despite the fact if we did it in the winter, there would be some people that obviously couldn't come. But
right.
I think it was a bigger issue with full-time residents than it was with seasonal residents. That's my observation from campaigning anyway. But.
I think part of the thing is too, though, that and that's why the public meeting is important at some point. Most are not even aware yet of what the impact is going to be on the levy.
Some don't even know about the pool.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh,
that's
we're
true.
Getting a pool.
Yeah.
Is it going to be in McKellar?
Often, for me, going door to door anyway, it was the first question that came from. Certainly not all people, but it was the most common first question that I got, anyhow. So, but surprisingly, too, a lot more people than I thought supported it than opposed it, which also was a shock to me. Now, and I did not cover anything like even 50% of the homes here, so I'm not saying that's representative, but it did surprise me several times how many people were supportive, so... Anyhow, I mean, that's kind of the good news. Having said that, they're supporting it without knowing anything about it. So how valid is that? They like the idea. Who doesn't? The question is how much.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, Garrett? On to consent agenda. I have resolution 23-106, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckman. Be resolved, Council of Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. On to question comment period from the public. Just related items on the agenda. No questions? Okay. Resolution 23-107, moved by Councilor Zulak, signed by Councilor Keckinen. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-16, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council the first and second reading, and further read a third time in pass and open Council the 24th day of January 2023. Discussion? All the question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 23-108, moved by Councilor Zulak, sent to Councilor Checkman. Be resolved, Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar here adjourned this meeting at
10:44 p.m.
We meet again on February the 7th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the vote. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The meeting is now adjourned.